now live.
Hello, and welcome back to another night of Shear. This is Ellie Nyman. I always say I cannot replace Mordechai Plotzker, but I'll be giving Shear in his stead. We are learning Le'ila Nishmas, Mir Le'ila Bas Aaron, Pearl Bas Pinchas, Chaim Barach Ben Zavol, Chava Esther Bas Abraham. We are also learning Le'ila Nishmas, all the victims in Pittsburgh. I spoke about that last night. I'd like to dedicate this year for their memory. We're learning Refu Shleima to all those who are sick. We hope that they have Refu Shleima. We're learning for them. We're davening for them. May our Shir be a schuss for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Chayasara. And Chayasara, Sarah Imenu passes away. And now Yitzchak is getting older. And Abraham wants to find a shidduch, a wife, a marriage partner, a wife for Yitzchak. And so he sends Eliezer. And so Eliezer goes and he says, well, I want to find somebody who is going to be of good character. That is the gist of what happens. And at what point the Pesukim can tell us. Then the servant took 10 camels of his master's camels and set out with all the bounty of his master in his hand and made his way to Ramna-Ryan, to the city of Nahar. He made the camels kneel down, meaning Eliezer, outside the city towards the well of water at evening time, the time when the women who draw come out. And he said, meaning Eliezer, Hashem, God of my master Abraham, may you so arrange it for me this day that you do kindness with my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the townsmen come out to draw water. Okay, and so he essentially davens. I'm going to prove that this is actually, he actually davens. He does have a tefillah, and we're going to be talking about tefillah and shidduchim, right, the relationship and the connection between davening and shidduchim. And so our scroll picks up on this. He says, and they say, so swift was the divine response to Eliezer's petition that while he was still in the midst of his supplication, while he was davening, Providence had already caused Rivka to leave her house and go to the well. So as he's in the middle of davening, Rivka is already leaving. They say as well, under Pasuk Chaf Aleph, they have this comment, they quote Rav Hirsch. Eliezer was amazed at the immediate fulfillment of his prayer, which surpassed all his expectations. And he waited to learn whether she was of Abraham's family. So very clearly in the pasuk, although people may not realize it, Eliezer does very clearly daven for Rivka, and his tefillah is answered. Later on, by the way, we know that it works because it's something that we're going to be speaking about as well. The Lavan says, okay, it looks like you davened that. This is definitely from Hashem. Vayan Lavan v'Suel v'yomru, and Lavan and v'Suel said, v'yomru, may Hashem yatzah devar. The matter is from Hashem. Lo nuchal da'aber lecha ra'o tov. We cannot speak bad or good. And we're going to be quoting Gemara that is going to be fusing this together. So I'm going to be quoting Gemara Moed Katan, kind of famous. The article actually does pick up on it, and we're going to be talking about some ideas. So Moed Katan is about Chol Moed, and the Gemara talks about whether you can get married on Chol Moed. Shmuel stated that one may betrothed, one may get engaged halachically a woman on Chol Moed, because otherwise another man might take her. That is, he might get engaged to her. The Gemara notes that this reason is contradicted by another of Shmuel's teachings. This is on Daf Yod Chet Amid Beis. Umi Amar Shmuel Shema Yikademenu Acher. But did Shmuel really say, let another man precede him? Baha Amar Rav Yehud Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehud said the name of Shmuel. Bechol Yom Yom Basko Yoseh Zomeret. Every single day a heavenly voice emanates and declares, Bas Poni Laponi, the daughter of so-and-so is destined for so-and-so. That so-and-so should marry so-and-so. Stay Poni Laponi. And such a field is destined for so-and-so. Since one mate is predetermined, how can one man lose his prospective bride to another? In other words, if a person is going to destined for one to the other, how is it possible that that it will not it will fall through. And the Gemara in Sota actually does determine this, but the Gemara in Moed Katan, which we might talk about another time, the Gemara in Moed Katan is going to talk about this. Ella Shema Yikademenu Acher Barachamim. Rather, Shmuel means lest another man precede him through prayer. And the Gemara tells the story. The Gemara illustrates that prayer can deprive a man of his designated wife, Kihat to Rava, and as exemplified by the incident involving Rava, Shimae Lahahu Gavra Debai Rachameva Amar. He heard a certain man beseeching God's mercy, saying, "Tis damin li po'anisa. Let so-and-so, a certain woman, be available for me." Amarle, Rava said to him, "Will tibay rachamei hachi? Do not beseech God's mercy for this. Ichazilach lo azlaminach. If she's meant for you, she'll not go from you. V'lo kafar ba'Hashem. And if she's not meant for you, your request will be denied, and you will renounce the power of Hashem to answer prayer." Very scary. So there is no need for this prayer. When you see the Art Scroll notes and quotes the Rishonim, when you see that your prayer is not heeded, you might adopt a heretical belief that prayer is ineffective. After that episode, Rava heard him saying. So in other words, he actually did daven for this young lady, and she married him. Oh, and this is what happened. So after that, Rava heard this guy saying, "Oh, ihu lemus mikama." Either he dies before, "Oh, ihi tamus mikame," or she dies before him. So it did not end very well because they were married, and unfortunately, they weren't happily married. Amarle, Rava said to him, "Lav amin alach wal tibay Allah the Milse Haki. Didn't I tell you not to pray for this matter?" And the article explains what's going on. Like, what's the big deal? If I do not marry her, I will be unable to bear seeing her marry someone else. Therefore, either let her die before I see her marry another man, or let me die before she marries. This prayer could succeed because it does not contradict the selection made in heaven. It is to this situation that Shmuel refers when he says that one may betroth a woman, Chamoed, lest another man precede him. If one does not betroth his bride at the earliest opportunity, a jealous suitor might pray that she die first. Or, okay, that's one pshat, and they give another pshat. Other Rishonim follow a version of the text in which Rava said to the man, "Kafarta, you will renounce her." That is it, and this is the pshat that I think I understand a little bit more. That is, if this woman was not designated for you, but you marry her anyway, you will ultimately regret it. So the idea is that the guy davened for this particular lady. This particular lady should marry me, and that wasn't the right thing. The man denied he Rava's advice, and he married the woman of his prayers. Eventually, so it was a he davened for this particular young lady, and that was a mistake. Eventually, he hated her so intensely, they pray that either one of them die an early death, chas shalom. Either he dies before or she dies before him, the Ran. Mukhe Yosef explains that his original decree can never be nullified. Thus, even if someone succeeds through prayer in marrying a woman who was not previously selected for him, the marriage will not last. He will die early, divorce her, and she will marry the man to whom she's been designated by heaven. Okay, so they say, "I had warned you not to pray for this woman. His prayer has turned into something so depraved as a wish for the death of her or yourself." So the Gemara is trying to figure out, okay, what was the big deal that that he davened for? And the answer was because people are destined for one another. If you daven for a certain particular person to be part, to be your spouse, it will not end well. Chas v'shalom, tragic events could come about. The Gemara continues. Gemara cites scriptural sources which demonstrate that one's wife is selected by heaven. So in other words, okay, so we just said that you shouldn't daven for a particular young lady. How do you know that Shmuel was correct? Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Ruven Ben Istrovili, Rav the name of the son of Istrovili, Menatol, Menadavim, Menaksivim, Umenaksuvim, Me Hashem Ishalish. We derive from Chumash, from Navi, and from Ksuvim, that it is from God that a woman is assigned to a man. Mina Torah Tiksiv. We from the Torah. Vayan Lan Lavan Basua, Vayomer Hashem Yatadivar. This week's Parsha, our Parsha. The Lavan and Basua answered and said, "The matter stemmed from Hashem." Mina Vian Tiksiv, and we have a pasuk from the Vian. The other Vimo Yadu Ki Me Hashem He. His father and mother did not know that it was from Hashem. Mina Ksuvim Tiksiv. And we know from Ksuvim, from I think it's Mishlei, Beis v'hom nachlas avos u'mei Hashem isha maskalas. A house of wealth or inheritance from fathers, but intelligent woman is from Hashem. Okay, so we have three sources that prove that, one of them being this week's parsha, that a person is destined, that such and such a woman is destined for such and such a man. And the Rishon and Achronim do discuss how this works. I just want to clarify one thing. We see that, we know that Eliezer davens for Rivka, and later on, the Lavan says, the matter is from Hashem. So how do we resolve the contradiction that he davens, and yet the woman says that that is from Hashem. And so I think the answer is that one time I spoke to Rabbi Reuven Feinstein Shlita, and I asked him for a shidduch advice. I asked him for marriage advice, and he told me to daven. I saw this Gemara, and the Gemara pretty clearly states you shouldn't daven for such a particular lady. And it seems that it's tefillah for shidduchim is general tefillah. That's really what, if you look back in the psukim, that's really what Eliezer was doing. He didn't know Rivka at the time. He was just davening for a certain young lady to come out. And because he was on a very holy level, his clock was very holy, was a very high level, so he davened for the Rivka to come out. Later on, when So Glavan confronts Eliezer, so he says, I see that this is a matter that clearly she's clearly destined for him. Obviously he davened, and it was destiny that Rivka marries Yitzchak, and Lavan realizes this and says, okay, we won't interfere. Indeed, I saw in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer Shlita, he actually writes as well that tefillah is very important. So it seems from this that Shidduchim is clearly from Hashem. And I think when Lavan says, Me'Hashem Yetzah Devar, the matter is from Hashem, so it would appear that although it's very hard to understand, but Shidduchim is clearly supernatural. In other words, there are various natural things in the world, the Teva, that act like every single day, every single day things that happen, like trees growing or whatever. But and that's of course from Hashem, but it's nature, it's natural. But when Lavan says Me'Hashem Yetzah Devar, it's supernatural. He's saying that this is clearly straight from Hashem, and he says even if you try good for bad, then it still won't matter. I think what he's trying to say is even if somebody tries to ruin it, so it doesn't matter. Even though the people might even try to stop it, like Lavan wanted to try to stop it, it doesn't matter because it comes from Hashem. And the lesson is that for the shidduchim, and I guess for a lot of things as well, but it seems especially from shidduchim, from what Rabbi Feinstein told me, from Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Sefer, from what we learned. When it comes to shidduchim, you daven. A person davens, but not for a specific person because that's not necessarily the right thing. You daven for a general shidduch. You're supposed to daven for a general shidduch, and with that, then Hashem arranges it that whatever it is that the person will meet you in whatever way. But the ikkar is to daven, and then Hashem determines, Hashem has a very specific plan of who should marry who, and that's the way it works indeed in this sefer, very interestingly. So if you look very carefully, it says, Hishtadlus mo'ila. Hishtadlus mo'ila, is, I think anybody that speaks Hebrew knows, mo'ila means to help. Very interesting. I could one day maybe contact him or somebody could contact him in terms of what he meant. But what I suspect he meant was really the ikkar is just tefillah, just like Rabbi Reuven Feinstein told me, that the ikkar is tefillah. Yeah, okay, you do your shtadlus, just like Eliezer, he in the parsha, he did his shtadlus. But the truth is, it's really only a charade, so to speak, because the idea is really tefillah. And tefillah, Hashem will make it so that the two will come together. And I think it's very important that, I guess, one of the lessons is to constantly be davening for a lot of things, and especially from shidduchim, because we see very clearly, even though people are destined for each other, but it seems there's for it to be take effect, a tefillah is needed, just like it's needed for many other things. Everybody, bracha, tzlach, and learning. Live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah. Have a wonderful night. Thank you very much. Bye bye.